Welcome back to Hoops HD. This is Championship Week Video Notebook Day number 3, I think we're at, right?
3.
It's only 3 days and I've already lost count.
You've already lost count.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, up here in the top corner, joined by John Stalica, Rocco Miller joining us from Bracketeer.org, and fresh and live from the Puppet Bunker, we have David Griggs.
Yeah, locked in.
Locked into the Puppet Bunker. This is the show where we review all of the conference tournament action, preview the upcoming games, and update our survival board a lot more. But we like to start with a little news and notes at the top of the show. And there's been a lot of news and notes today. So I want to go through this stuff pretty quickly. And let me just start real quickly with last night, after we finished our show, Kansas did end up losing that game. And for the first time since anybody remembers, Kansas is not going to win the Big 12 championship this year. Rocco, how shocked are you almost at that?
Well, I mean, I'm more shocked just because there were so many years, if you think back through the streak, where we thought we'd probably never see the day that this would happen. But just the way that this year played out with the injuries happening when they did and Vic going down as well, the writing started to become on the wall. But even just as recently as last week, there was a path, a realistic path for Kansas to at least get the share. So to see them go down in flames against kind of a crumbling Oklahoma team like that was kind of an odd way for it all to end. But here it is. It's over.
Yeah, and another game.
They were without two key players for the entire second half of the year, and they're in a really tough conference. I mean, it isn't too shocking.
Right.
Now, granted, they've done it every year since 2004, but, in order for them to go down, they basically had to be without two key players and be in a conference that might send as many as 8 to the NCAA tournament. But they are bad on the road.
Some of the other notable games tonight, Stalica, let me bring in here. Seton Hall was down big to Marquette. The game was pretty much over, and then Miles Powell showed up, and 18-0 run to end the game, and it was just shocking.
Yeah, unfortunately for Marquette, they didn't build quite the cushion that Xavier did about a week ago, so Marquette is now in the midst of a 3-game losing streak, and they're going to be in a pretty bad mood when they're hosting Georgetown, who got absolutely clobbered by DePaul tonight.
Destroyed by DePaul. Really big blow to Georgetown's at-large chances. A couple other teams taking blows to their at-large chances, including NC State, David, losing a game to Georgia Tech.
That just blows. It's more than just taking a blow. They just blew.
Yeah, that was bad. Ohio State, who probably needs another win or two, Rocco, they go down at Northwestern.
Yeah. And the way that the bubble is just crumbling, Ohio State's still relatively safe compared to some of those teams. But I agree. I think they got to get at least one more win out of the next two.
And that was the second game in a row that Caleb Wesson was out due to suspension for the Buckeyes. So if he doesn't come back, I think the Buckeyes are out. But even if he does come back, they'd better win one or two games of significance just to show that this was indeed an aberration.
Yeah, Wisconsin at home this weekend, so they could really use that win. A couple of bubble teams that did well, actually. Creighton picked up a win at home in overtime over Providence. Clemson with a road win, albeit a very close one at Notre Dame. So at least two teams did something right tonight. And then among outside the bubble, though, Iowa State, Rocco loses at West Virginia. Oklahoma State knocks off Baylor. What was a crazy night.
It was a crazy night. I don't know how Iowa State just got manhandled like that. I know
they didn't mess around. When they lose, they don't screw around.
It's crazy. Before they were just helping out their fellow Big 12 closer to bubble teams to get quality wins. But now handing West Virginia wins is not a good sign at all. And the Oklahoma State win over Baylor. I think this Oklahoma State team is building something nice rolling into next year. I know they've got some good recruits coming in. They have a very young team. They've been playing better lately. So I'm a little less surprised, even though Baylor was on senior night and at home, it was a little surprising from that standpoint. But Oak State's kind of a sleeper team going to the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah. One other bubble team that lost tonight, that really had a shot to win, was Florida. They were at home against LSU, were up in that game. LSU, mm-hmm. late comeback, forces overtime. LSU gets the win. Nice win for LSU. Florida needs a little more help still to get there. And just really quickly, among the under-the-radar conferences finishing up their regular seasons, two first-place teams fell tonight, Sam Houston State and Old Dominion, both losing games at home tonight. So more of the upsets in this evening. But let's, on that note, get right to the conference tournament stuff here, and it should be coming up on the screen any second now. We should be starting in the Horizon League tonight, where we had quarterfinals numbers 3 and 4. And Sleeka, let me start with you, because these were both pretty good games most of the way.
Yeah, the big scare earlier was Northern Kentucky, who got out to a small lead early on. Detroit had a 14-0 run in the first half to take a 12-point lead, but NKU was able to whittle that down to, I think it was a 5-point deficit at halftime, and in the second half they were able to gradually pull away from the Titans, so they dodge a bullet, and Oakland does likewise at the blacktop against Youngstown State.
Yeah, Northern Kentucky was down in this game for more than half of it. And, like, you said something interesting that I didn't realize. Yesterday, Wright State was the first time a one seed had won a game in this tournament in over 4 years. How long ago was it the last time the Chalk held all the way to the semifinals?
It's been a long time. Well, again, they were playing that format where the – one of the two seed buys in the semifinals for a while, so it was a little bit easier back in those days. But it has not happened since it went back to this standard bracket format three years ago. But Rocco, going forward now, we're not playing again in this conference until Monday when it all shifts to Detroit. Oakland, kind of a bit of a home court advantage. Does Northern Kentucky have to be in the lookout there in that second semifinal coming up?
I think they do because of the home court advantage that you spoke of. I think the way Northern Kentucky, has been playing the last couple of weeks, they haven't looked in their best form at all. And Oakland comes in now winning 5 in a row, feeling great. Really kind of nothing to lose from here. They made it to the semis. They didn't have high expectations coming into the season either. So I look for that to be a really good game.
And also keep in mind, Oakland did win at home against Northern Kentucky back in January.
Let's move over to the Northeast Conference, which started out great, then looked like it was a bunch of blowouts. Then we ended up having a good finish to the night anyhow. It was a real up-and-down night at the NEC. But the first game of the night was the bottom one on the screen there between LIU, Brooklyn, and Sacred Heart, which was a fun game throughout, even though it ended up being a 9-point win. David, let me bring you in on that. It was a 9-point win, but it was close until about a minute left in the game, really.
Yeah, the LIU Brooklyn. Yeah, it was. And again, like yesterday, I was talking up Sacred Heart because they were actually my pick to win it, and they were at home. But even it's not surprising that they went out to the sixth seed. Okay. Robert Morris is as good as anybody, and therefore it's just a lot of parity in this.
Yeah, Robert Morris, Rocco, they were down big to St. Francis Brooklyn most of that game and got it to overtime somehow and then pulled it out.
They did, yeah. I was impressed. St. Francis had a double-digit lead well into the second half. I think they were up by as many as 17 towards the end of the first half. So Robert Morris, they really fought and scratched. I watched the overtime. They were getting all the loose balls, all the key rebounds. It was exactly what you want to see in a conference tournament game. Without knowing a whole lot about either team, it was a fun ending to watch, to see them rally and come back.
Yeah. St. Francis Brooklyn was actually up 9 points at or so. Again, an incredible comeback by Bobby Moe here.
Yeah, and The other games there, St. Francis PA's 4-point win over Bryant was not that close. It was a big run by Bryant late in the game, but they were never really able to get it within one score, at least, I think.
Yeah, the one thing I took away from this tonight, I was limited to how much I could watch. The lights were working at Robert Morris. Jesus.
Yeah. The only other game was a fairly
– lots of light there.
It was fairly Dickinson did some pretty unholy things to Wagner tonight. It wasn't even as close as that 84-46 final, I don't think. This was an absolute destruction of this Wagner team. But real quick, going into the semifinals, which are coming up on Saturday, Rocco, I believe you're going to be at the one of these games.
Yeah, I am. It just worked out beautifully because – We're going to be in New York City this weekend. I have some extra time Saturday afternoon. It looks like this game's right at 12 o'clock. So that's just perfect timing for me. I already exchanged emails with the SID, and I'll be able to cover the game for Bracketeer. So I'm very much looking forward to it. And the NEC semifinal, something that I probably never thought I would be attending. And here we are. So pretty excited.
Stalika, you have a pick to win it all now that we're down to four teams. You want to stick with us? I think you went with SFPA, or did you go with Robert Morris yesterday?
I went with Robert Morris, and as you may have guessed, my eyes were as big as the puppets here for most of that game. So I'm still going to stick with that prediction right there, and I'm also going to double down and say LIU Brooklyn finds a way to win at SFPA this weekend.
All right, well, we'll see. We'll talk about this again a little bit more on Friday night and on Saturday as well. But let's go over to the one other conference that was in action today. David, it was first round day in the Ohio Valley Tournament, as two games were played to determine who loses tomorrow.
Yeah, the only tournament going on that wasn't at campus sites, fortunately, the fire department was there to handle the massive crowd that was on hand. But, it was two of the more exciting games of the day. Like Morehead got up big on Edwardsville. I think they had like a 12 double digit lead at the half, and they went from then Edwardsville went from trying to pound it inside to shooting outside, shot themselves back in it, and then it was close really for the last 10 or 15 minutes with Morehead winning. And then the other game, Eastern Illinois jumped out to an early lead, and then Martin. I don't think in the entire second half, at least until the last minute, that the game was played outside of an 8-point window. It was just close the entire way. So the people that were there got their money's worth.
All 17 of them did. But Rocco, how about tomorrow? This conference does just keep rolling right on tomorrow. Do either Morehead or Tennessee Martin have a shot to pull the upsets over Austin Peay and Jacksonville State?
I think they do, because Austin Peay and Jacksonville State, despite the fact that they've clearly been with in the top four and can hang with the Murrays and the Belmonts, they have played a bit more like susceptible, like I guess you could say, to play down to their competition. So, Morehead's been a little bit hotter down the stretch. They were the best team out of the rest of the eight outside of the top four. That game definitely should be a pretty good one. And then in the Tennessee Martin game, I mean, Jacksonville State, when they're not at home, they're pretty hit or miss. So they got to come ready to play. Neither one of these teams that had the bye can look ahead. They got to be ready to play tomorrow. Tomorrow. Yep.
Yeah, they're ready tomorrow. And that was it for today's action. But we want to take a look at some of the games coming up tomorrow. We'll start with a few conferences that have already had some action. But Stalika, let me start with you. We're back in play in this Big South tomorrow with a full day starting at 12 noon. Radford Presbyterian, Winthrop Charleston Southern, the afternoon session, Campbell Hampton, Gardner Webb High Point, the evening session. Again, the big question here, do you see any upsets, or do we see Form holding with the top four seeds?
I'd be pretty surprised if I saw an upset emerge out of the Big South here, especially with a big three of Campbell, Radford, and Winthrop in action.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think the best game, David, is probably the Gardner-Webb High Point game. But I think that Gardner-Webb is a better team than High Point, too. I think there's a bit of a drop.
Well, High Point turned it on down the stretch. But Gardner-Webb, while they didn't always play up to it, is probably – like, their ceiling's higher than what most people realize. You got to remember, they lost to Furman in overtime. You know, if I had my notes in front of me like a good person, I'd remember who else they lost to in a close game. I don't remember. But they had some really good showings throughout the year. And it wouldn't shock me entirely if Gardner-Webb knocked off Campbell, even though it's at Campbell.
Didn't Gardner-Webb beat Wake Forest this year? Bad?
Yeah.
I thought they beat some
of the good teams. But anyway, if you're just, again, this is going to be a unique atmosphere. Campbell, a real small venue. It's just a bandbox. It's going to be a show. It should be a lot of fun. Because all four games are at Campbell's home court.
But strangely enough, it's not the first time they've hosted the Big South tournament either.
Nope, it's not. Yeah. They've actually won it before.
I'm waiting for the year Charleston Southern wins the regular season title and gets to host in their 880-seat venue there. But Rocco, yeah. Who's your call to win it now that we're down to eight teams?
Well, you know, you're going to think I'm crazy, but the Jerome, I was trying to find a tournament where an upset made sense. This is the one I think where it makes the most sense, because I think Radford, we'd agree, has the most talent, but they really have hit a wall the last couple of weeks. And right. I'm my gut feeling just says they're not gonna win this. And I like
you don't the think way, they're gonna get by Presby.
Well, I think they could win by Presby. I'm just saying they're not gonna cut down the nets at Campbell, and Campbell's been up and down themselves. So I'm going to take a big stretch here, and I'm actually going to take Charleston Southern to win the tournament. They've wow. won. Yeah, it's my craziest pick. I promise I won't get wilder than this. But, yeah, they've won 9 of their last 12, and they seem to be playing well, and they've beaten the Radfords. They've beaten the Gardner-Webbs, and so we'll see. And they lost by 1 to Campbell, so.
Well, they won't have to play a true road game until the championship game, unless for some reason it's against Hampton, in which case they would host it. But yeah. You know, they'll have to play probably at Campbell in that championship game on Sunday. So, but hey, why not? Why not?
Why not? Why not?
Let's keep. It is also back in action. We are in quarterfinal day tomorrow, David, in the Patriot League. 4 games on campus sites. BU's at Colgate, Navy's at American, Holy Cross at Bucknell, Army's at Lehigh.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, it just looked like it was Bucknell and friends. I don't know what the hell happened to them down the stretch, but they really backed into this. They had, what was it, a 2 or 3 game lead with 4 games to go, and they ended up losing the home court advantage. Now, they still have it through the semis, and I suppose if somebody knocks off Colgate, they could still get it, but they're going to have to, like, they could potentially face an Army team that they barely beat in the semis.
Oh, they got to get by a Holy Cross team that they lost to before they get to the semis.
Yeah.
So, and this is the, you know, it's just, you until somebody knocks off Holy Cross, you just think they're going to win the entire event every year after what they did a few years back.
Yeah.
Stalika, though, you see any upsets in tomorrow's 4 games?
As shaky as Bucknell has played, I don't think they're losing at Soika Pavilion against Holy Cross, but I would say Army would be the likeliest upset candidate right here. But even then, I see chalk holding for the 4 games tomorrow.
Yeah, Rocco, you agree with that? And who's your pick to win this event going forward now that we're down to 8?
Yeah, I think the chalk should hold tomorrow. But, you know, odds are maybe one of them there is an upset. We should at least see a close finish or two, I would imagine. These teams aren't that much separate from each other, especially American Navy. And I like the fact that Colgate's finally healthy. I think when they became fully healthy a few weeks ago, they've taken over this league. And the way Bucknell's played lately and Lehigh's been up and down, they rely on a ton of tempo. But I like Colgate to win it.
Let's move over to the first conference that's going to reach the semifinal round tomorrow. We do have our first semifinals. NJIT's at Lipscomb and North Florida's at Liberty in the Atlantic Sun. It has been a two-team conference all the way. Rocco, let me stick with you here. It's been a two-team conference the whole way with Liberty and Lipscomb. Does it stay that way to the finals, or do you see either of these other two teams pulling the upset?
If it's going to happen, I think that it's the North Florida Liberty matchup. I think Liberty's struggled a little bit. They've pulled out most of the games, but they did lose to North Florida down the stretch. And North Florida is coming in now after the North Alabama win with 7 straight wins. Again, everybody's been talking Liberty Lipscomb the whole year. So both NJIT and North Florida coming in with really no expectations and just can kind of roll the dice. And if they get hot, they're good enough to pull off these upsets.
Yeah, and David, NJIT, our original team of the people, we were so excited when they got in the A-Sun. And for the first time ever, finally, they actually won a conference tournament game in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win a second one. Okay. The thing about Liberty is that – or not, I'm sorry, Lipscomb – is that they haven't been playing as well in the last couple weeks, but they've still been winning most of their games. And I think that almost speaks to a team's strength when they can not play their best and still win. And I, part of that, sometimes when you're going through the whole season and you're in the spot that they were, where they had the big out of conference wins and there was chatter about them getting in at large, psychologically, it's just hard to get up for the 13th, 14th and 15th time when really the only thing you're playing for isn't to elevate yourself, but not to slip. And now that we're into the semis of the conference tournament, I know that they didn't look the best against Kennesaw, but I think they're going to come out of that. They're still a very well put together team. And if anybody has a chance of winning a game in the round of 64 out of this league, it's them. And they were real. They did what they had to do out of conference. I mean, they won some of the games against tournament caliber teams.
Well, we got three other conferences still that are going to be action tomorrow for the first time so far. Let's start in the Metro Atlantic, where it is first round day. If you are a basketball addict, you could actually go to a sextuple header up in Albany with three women's games, followed by three men's games tomorrow. But the men's games are Marist, St. Peter's, Manhattan, Fairfield, Monmouth, Niagara. So the two questions are, one, any upsets? Two, who wins the entire event?
I think it's also going to come down to one of the most Jekyll and Hyde teams, and that's going to be the Monmouth Hawks. For the first half of the year, it looked like they were going to overcome being a potential centenary candidate and actually were leading the conference at one point and then fell into a deep slump. So here they are in the first round. It wouldn't shock me terribly if they ended up losing to Niagara, but would it really shock you if this, of all years, would be the season the Hawks win the title? I think at the end of the day, I'm going to say Fairfield probably gets the upset in round one. And if I'm looking for a champion out of this conference, it is going to be the resurgent Ryder Bronx.
You mean these Ryder Bronx that are on my t-shirt right here?
Yes, those Ryder Bronx.
Yes, I've got that Ryder Bronx shirt on, and that's why I'm picking Siena to win this conference tournament, even that's on their home court. But Rocco, how about you?
Tomorrow, these are opening round games for a conference tournament whose winner is almost assuredly going to Dayton. If you're watching these, you're crazier than we are.
I'm going to be watching them.
I know we're going to be watching them.
But Rocco, I think any of these 11 teams could win this event, but who's any of them could. I mean, I could see Niagara winning this whole thing. I really could.
Yeah, I could too. I could definitely see that. At this time of year, I think I'd be foolish to ever pick against Tim Kloos. However, this is a weird scenario. I feel like they hardly ever have the number one seed, so it makes me not want to pick them for that reason.
I'll tell you, Rocco, actually, the last time they were a number one seed, they did not win this conference tournament. The last 3 years since then, they were not the one seed, and they did win it.
Bad
news to be one seed for Iona.
Well, then I'm going to have to take a wild card, and I think it will be their first ever NCAA tournament appearance if they do pull it off, and I'll go with Baker Dunleavy's Quinnipiac Bobcats.
Not a bad pick.
David, who are you going with?
I don't know.
Nobody.
Why not Niagara? It's just a complete crap.
Well, Dave, why don't I stick with you, because we have another conference that should be a ton of fun starting tomorrow. One of the most wide open Arch Madness tournaments of the Missouri Valley Conference that I ever recall. And I don't know who's going to win this thing. It is the 8-9 and 7-10 games tomorrow. Indiana State, Valpo, Illinois State, Evansville. But what about those games and what about the entire tournament?
Again, it was one of those leagues that was up and down. It's Loyola Chicago.
Mostly down.
Mostly down. I kind of like Drake. They lost such a crucial player when Nick Norton went out, but they made the adjustments to win without him and almost finished first. So, just kind of the storyline. Their depth is going to be an issue, especially if they get 2 and 3 rounds into it. But I don't know. I'm going to – it's such a wild card. At the beginning of the year, I picked Southern Illinois. I think I'm going to stick with them.
Rocco?
Well, unfortunately, David probably hasn't heard the news. The stud freshman for Dake, DJ Wilkins, who's an excellent player, I got to see them play this year, is going to miss the tournament as well.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, he went down in practice 2 days ago. So, Drake –
what did he do that for?
I don't know, but I wanted to pick Drake too. I really like that team. I like the way the guys, DeVries has come in and coached the team in 1 year and put a roster together. It's a great story. Loyola Chicago's got the pieces back. They should be the favorite to win it. We haven't had a real big upset champion in this tournament in a while because the dominance of the Wichitas and Loyola last year. But I do think we're going to see something a little spicy this year. Missouri State has seemed to have Loyola's number. I think they swept them this year. I'm going to go out on a limb and take Missouri State.
I like that a little bit, but I'm going to go somewhere else. A team that got red hot late in the season until the last couple of games. Mm-hmm. I'm going Northern Iowa in this conference out of the sixth seed there.
They are kind of hot right now. One of the things, if Loyola Chicago does win this tournament, like we've seen Final Four teams miss the NCAA all the time. It happens every year. I don't think we've ever seen the Final Four team make the tournament as a 15 seed.
That's what we will see. But Sleek, let me get your pick for this conference tournament.
I think Loyola Chicago is a little bit too up and down for me to pick them. And I think based on the information that Rocco had provided about Drake, I'm going to go away from the Bulldogs and actually go with Barry Hinson and his barbecue sauce to win the whole thing.
That would be awesome.
Tomorrow's game should be good ones between the Trees and Valpo, Illinois State, Evansville. I don't know that any of those four teams is a serious contender in this conference tournament, though.
No. Illinois State should have been, but they weren't.
All right. Yeah. Now get ready to shield your eyes. There's one other conference tournament starting tomorrow, and its format is one that I just – well, there it is. Whatever the heck it is, this gigantic ladder that goes on for 3.5 weeks.
How did Werner Ladders not sponsor this conference tournament?
Let's start with tomorrow's games. Pepperdine Pacific, San Diego, Portland, Salika. Do you see anything exciting or anything at all about these two games tomorrow?
I think the only exciting thing may be how many points San Diego beats Portland by, because the Toreros also quietly got a sweep of San Francisco during the season. And I think Lorenzo Romar is also, and his team will also get a nice win over Pacific tomorrow.
Yes, San Diego fell apart. Yeah, they fell apart late in the season. Yeah.
They did. The thing I love about this is that you can get three rounds into this tournament and still only be into the quarters.
I don't know that we really have to ask it. Maybe we'll do it really, really quickly. Who's going to win the tournament, though? Rocco.
Unfortunately, Gonzaga.
David.
I don't know. I can't decide.
Okay. Yeah. Sleeka, we're going Gonzaga, aren't we?
Yeah.
I'll go Gonzaga, and I think they will win both games by double digits to match 1991 UNLV and their dominance over.
I will say this. Gonzaga will not win the most games in this tournament, though.
No, they won't.
They'll win the tournament, but San Diego is going to win the most games.
I saw today Joe Lunardi had Joe Lunardi's pecs were up on the screen again. And Rocco, he's still got St. Mary's in his first four out. I don't see that. Do you see that?
I don't see that. No.
Okay.
I mean, the only way they're getting looked at closely and seriously is if they can get to the final and beat Gonzaga, but they can't do it in the semis now. So I don't fully understand that.
Yeah, they need a win over Gonzaga to get in. I think they are an at-large quality team if they get a win over Gonzaga, but
right.
He needs his house checked for lead if he thinks that.
Yeah, their chance was last Saturday. I agreed with keeping them in the picture because if they won last Saturday, then they were probably in or close. But now that chance is gone. It's auto bid or bust.
Well, the good news is if they do beat Gonzaga, they don't need to worry about an at-large bid.
Right.
Let's move over to our tournament survival board. This, just like the conference tournament brackets are up there on the website, you can also get to the survival board up there. And David, what is the survival board that we're looking at here?
Well, it outlines everybody that's still playing. You see there's 324 teams, or at least there were coming in today. Some are locked in, some are being considered. Others, if they lose and are eliminated, they're screwed. And essentially, like, we do this for the committee. The committee has the internet in their room so they can look at this page and know what they're supposed to be doing.
Right. And if you look there, for example, the Northeast Conference, everybody's a normal type. That means that they had to win the conference tournament to get there. And heading today, there are eight teams left in there. A team like Nevada is a lock no matter what they've got to be in. Yeah. A team like Utah State here in italics might be in, might not be in. Depends on what they should be debating that team, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Well, heading into the day, as you mentioned, there were 324 teams remaining. As a result of today's action, 315 teams now left.
Okay.
And as you can see, if we go down here to like the Northeast Conference that we were just looking at, only four teams left in that league that could possibly make the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
I guess on that note, David, you had an issue you wanted to discuss with me after last night's show.
Well, yeah, you tweeted to – what was your – about how you didn't like
that Horizon League tournament. Yeah,
the Horizon League tournament, how it wasn't at campus sites, which I kind of agree with. But you the person that you solicited to help was Kim Kardashian.
Right.
Did she respond to you?
No, she didn't. She must have been busy today.
Why the hell did you think that she was going to?
David, is there another thing we want to fix with our college?
You could have tweeted to the commissioner. You could have, like, called the ADs, but you called Kim Kardashian.
All right, David. It didn't quite work as I thought it would. The Horizon League tournament's still in Detroit, but do you have something that you wanted to discuss for tonight?
Well, yeah, one of the things, and again, just to remind everybody what we're doing, we are, in order to make college basketball better, coming up with the issues at the end of each championship week video notebook and soliciting someone that we think that can help. And tonight, I guess it's my turn. My issue is alcohol sales at the NCAA tournament. The NCAA across the board doesn't allow alcohol sales at championship events. At football, like the FCS, not the bowl games, those aren't NCAA championships, but a lot of schools that sell alcohol can't do it during the tournament. A lot of the NBA venues where the NCAA tournament's at, the Final Four, wherever, they can't really sell alcohol. And I just don't understand why that is. And I think we need somebody to help us with this. Like, all right. So we are tweeting to Carrot Top. because
I think this is going
to
work.
He has the administrative pool necessary to make this change happen.
Hey, Carrot Top. The NCAA does not allow alcohol at championship events. It's a missed opportunity for sponsorship and revenue.
This is a real tweet.
And for the fans to have more fun at the game, we need to lift the ban and allow alcohol sales. We need your help. David, is this seriously what you're tweeting out?
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't he be able to help?
And you just sent it. Unbelievable. Yeah. You know what? Let's go to final thoughts. I don't even know what to say anymore. Sleek, let me start with you.
I'm going to throw a hypothetical scenario out here as we go back to the Atlantic Sun. Let's suppose the original team of the people, NJIT, actually beats Liberty in the championship game to get the NCAA tournament bid. So in this case, who would get the automatic NIT invite out of the conference? Would that be Lipscomb by virtue of the number one seed, or would that be Liberty by virtue of advancing?
That's a good question.
This is an Atlantic Sun rule. The Atlantic Sun is the only conference I know that does this. But when there is a tie, if one team advances further in the conference tournament than the other, that team is deemed its champion. So in that scenario, Liberty would get the auto bid to the NIT. Although, quite frankly, I think they're both NIT caliber teams anyhow, so it may not matter.
Right. Smart.
Rocco.
Yeah, so I had three quick final thoughts. I just want to hit on two of them from today. I think the NC State note at the start of the show, I sent out a tweet earlier. I think right now, I don't know how the committee would be able to put them in. I know we're working with the net, and their net surely will probably drop a few spots, probably still be in the 30s though, which it means you have to closely look at them. But with that Georgia Tech loss and with the Wake Forest loss, and really with doing not much, if anything, on the road, and having the worst non-conference strength of schedule of any bubble team I think I've ever seen, because you frankly can't get any worse, I don't really see how they can give them one of those last spots in. Their real-time RPI on Warren Nolan's site is 117 right now. I mean, in any other year, we wouldn't even have this conversation. Next final thought is, real quickly, in the WCC, Pacific and Portland are big underdogs tomorrow. Should they lose, we may see job openings at both schools. And then the last final thought, the Horizon League, by making the first round at campus sites and eliminating the teams that didn't finish in the top eight, the conference got exactly what they wanted. The top four teams are going to Detroit. So, conference commissioner, pat yourself on the back.
Not what any of the fans wanted. Nobody wants to go to Detroit, but
that championship game was always sold out when it was at campus sites, and they haven't come close to doing it in Detroit.
David, you want to finish up the show?
My final thought, I got sidetracked. I was going to say something about how NC State, but Rocco already commented on that. They kind of got a lucky break when a key player for Georgia Tech got hurt, but they still failed to beat them.
I've never been – I mean, if they get in, I don't think that there's ever been a team selected that has actually done less than what they've done.
Yeah.
But they still might.
Yeah, Rocco mentioned the worst strength of non-conference strength of schedule. In fact, there's never been more than 351 teams until this year, and they're at 352. So it absolutely is.
I was right about something.
There's no doubt that it is. There's only one team in history that's ever had a worse non-conference strength of schedule. That's Longwood this year. So, but I guess on that note, on behalf of David Griggs, Rocco Miller, and John Slica, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow night. We have a bracket rundown show coming and a championship week video notebook, so keep an eye out on the website.